For the past year, all eyes have been on a rare plant high up in the Waianae Mountains. A camera and other special sensors has been mounted monitoring life around this plant 24/7. The project is being showcased at the conference of the Hawaii Conservation Alliance this week, and just weeks ago, that camera went live online. Lucas Fortini with the U.S. Geological Service Pacific Islands Ecosystems Research Center sat down with us to talk about this groundbreaking project.
Fundamentally, here in Hawaii, when we deal with conservation issues, one bedrock issue that we always stumble upon is the issue that there's kind of a disconnect between where people live down here and where a lot of these super critically endangered species live up above in Te Wawakua. So this is essentially an effort for us to create a connection between people down here and these plants that really need us to think a little bit more about them. So there's this public engagement part, but the name itself is a misnomer because Plant Cam is not only a camera. The plants we're monitoring up there are probably the most well-monitored wild plants in the world. We have sensors monitoring its growth, local climate, soil conditions, bird and animal visits, and we're really coming up with the information that can hopefully help managers that are managing these rare species better understand what are really the threats and what are the conditions that maybe these plants can thrive.
So what is the plant that we're focused on?
This is a Ciania calycina. It's a critically endangered plant. Last assessment they did for the species, they counted less than 200 individuals anywhere on the island. Probably that's an overestimate. I wouldn't be surprised if the numbers of actually wild plants now is a lot lower.
And so tell us, where is this plant located and how is the camera mounted?
Yes, so this is on the southern part of the Waianae Range. So actually it's nice because if you're down here in Honolulu in traffic or wherever, you can look up in the mountains and you can realize that up there's just these incredible still native forests and there's a lot of conservation efforts that go into making those forests still native when it's still a home for a lot of these incredibly rare species. And it's, yes, the deployment of this whole project out there was certainly challenging because we're talking about, you know, very steep ridges and gulches and so forth. We had to helicopter drop all of our equipment on top of a very narrow ridge and working at conditions that, it was very exciting.
And cliffhanging. Right?
Exactly. And just the amount of cabling and equipment that we had, it was kind of ridiculous. But we managed to get it all up and running, and it was great.
And so the big thing is that you folks have been monitoring this plant now for about a year, but now it's all online.
Yes, it is all online. And so people can go to this website, plantcam.live. And they can see actually real-time the images. Every day there's new time lapses generated automatically for the last few days because we know plants don't move around and dance around like, bald eagles and other critter cams and so forth. But so we make these time lapses so you actually can see the plant growing over time along with the data in terms of the precipitation data, temperature, and all of these things that you can actually understand, start getting an idea of like how these plants are really reacting to its own environment.
So some people might think, oh, that's boring. You're watching grass grow and there's not much that goes on to warrant a camera.
Oh, it's been a drama. It's been incredible. We've been getting a lot of data. In terms of what we have, the time lapses that kind of course, condense the timeline into a more, let's say, a human timeline. A few months ago, for instance, we had one of the few invasive plants that still were in that area, a Brazilian pepper tree, just rolled down the hill and pretty much almost obliterated this, unique plant. And, because of the system, we were able to run up there and rescue the plant. Actually, one of the stems, we were able to hike out of the mountain and take to Lion Arboretum where they have a plant propagation lab. And they now we have this, we were able to even save this stem as a now a different plant. And all thanks to their, great propagative work. So that's just one thing that happened.
Were able to react quickly then?
Yes, exactly, because of the system. The other thing is, we've been monitoring animals that have been visiting potential pollinators. Up to now, we really didn't have a good idea of what could potentially pollinate because we have lost so many of the native birds up in these forests. And we were really pleasantly surprised that we saw a lot of birds visiting once it flowered just about a month ago. We have been just getting great images and real-time lapses of the plant going through its full flowering period, which was just incredible. Nobody ever saw a Cyania or a Lobelia flowering, you know, from start to finish. And so, yeah, just some incredible imagery that also has scientific value as well.
So explain to our listeners what this plant looks like.
So let's see. It's this plant, it has several stems, and kind of at the top, there are these really long and very thick leaves that are thick and on a roll, kind of a roll around it. And it just has these beautiful flowers that are purple bluish, and they have very long flower tubes or corollas. And those is and the reason for that is that they were co-evolved with all the native honey creeper forest birds that, you know, such as Eevee and others that have these very long peaks, beaks that they used to collect the nectar for these plants. So they're just incredible. Nowhere else in this world. They actually have arrived in these islands. This lineage of plants, they have been in these islands for over 13 million years. So essentially, the descendants of these plants, the one single arrival that happened 13 million years ago, they arrived even before Oahu existed, and they're still here. So it's, you know, people think of rare plants as these kind of delicate beings, but, you know, these are survivors. They've been around in the earth for over 70 times as long as humans have, just on this island.
And so with that one branch that you were able to propagate, and that's at the Lion Arboretum, and so what's going to happen to it there?
So what I would really like to happen is, again, we have the science component of this project. We're really being able to understand better about, you know, what are the environmental conditions that these plants seem to enjoy most. So ideally, after it goes through its recovery period, because it was severe trauma, it was pretty much chopped at the base. Once it's ready for transplant, I would love to be able to actually utilize the data from our project to determine, okay, should we put it back exactly where it was? Or perhaps does it need a place that needs a little bit more light? Or maybe a little bit, a place where maybe soil moisture is a little bit better during drier conditions during the summer. So we will be able to actually use the data to not only put this plant back out in the wild, but also we are trying to collect fruit and seeds from the same plant and others around to have keiki to outplant. And with this data, we're going to be able to better decide what are those places that they are, have a better chance of surviving.
And is there a concern, I don't know about pests, but do we have the pigs rooting around up there?
Yes. Thankfully, this area is protected. It's fenced. But yeah, for a lot of these lobelioids, cyanias and other species, related species, they are, pigs and are a huge problem. So they do get munched on if there's pigs around.
Right, but it's safeguarded.
It's safeguarded for now.
And any other surprises with the cams and the critters that came along? I mean, I don't know, you know, how good the optics are. We're able to get, like, I don't know, like you said, the pollinators. You know, what types of things are we talking about?
Yeah, so we did see, for instance, so like I mentioned, we have lost, unfortunately, Eevee out on this island, and Akielo, and many other birds that that used to pollinate this plant. So in this area, thankfully, there's still plenty of Amakihi, Apapane, and Elepayo, and the three native bird species that are still present here, forest bird species. So we did see a lot of visits from Amakihi visiting, and that was pleasant because this plant is kind of hanging on a steep gulch, kind of down below the ridge where a lot of the birds concentrate their activities. You know, there's a lot of ohia up on the ridges, and they like to ohia a lot as well. So it was very interesting once we got the data, and we saw just an incredible shots, by the way, of these birds just, like, you know, perching over the flowers and so forth.
And so what's the elevation that this is located at, roughly?
Probably about, good question. I think maybe 2,500 to 3,000. Yeah, I think 2,500. Yeah, it's high up there. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, but that's exciting. So so you have a window into the world of this endangered plant, and now we can all go online and kind of share in its story.
Yeah, and so you can go to the site. It's plantcam.live, and we do recognize that even with the data and the time lapses, sometimes there's not much going on, but if you subscribe to the site, every so often, once a week, a couple of weeks, you'll get some notification about something exciting that has happened with the plant. And it's, so it's always something going on, always some different efforts, or sometimes there are some updates about the different conservation efforts that are going around the plant. So not only you learn about the plant, but all the people and all the incredible effort that takes to really preserve these incredible places that make Hawaii for what it is.
And so you mentioned this is the first of its kind, this camera. Yeah. So what's the plan to expand?
Yeah, so actually we're working with a student, an engineering student now, to try to essentially come up with an equivalent monitoring system that is a lot smaller and a lot cheaper, because obviously the data we're getting is useful in terms of management, and we've already been learning so much about this plant that it would be great to use that for other rare plants, because essentially for so many of these plants, that native plants that we have now, they're so rare that it just... we can study them in conventional approaches. A lot of ways you study, like, plants, you have a large plot with a lot of plants and you monitor them over time. Well, what happens if you have a population that has, like, two individuals? You can't use conventional methods. So we feel like we can really make this monitoring system a lot cheaper, a lot simpler and smaller for us to really be able to replicate across different rare species, across different populations, and really start getting a better idea about the biology of these plants that right now we are left to kind of guess a lot of times.
All right. Well, that's great news. But thank you for sharing this story, and good luck with the expansion project.
Great. Thank you.
That was Lucas Fortini, USGS research ecologist, with the latest on the battle to save the last of only 200 rare native plants using a monitoring system that includes a camera. Find out more, including links to the plant cam, on the Conversations Facebook page.